Paul says something that makes you feel a little uneasy at first, my friends. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. You know, that can have several meanings. Let's take a look at it. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thank you very much for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast about the love of God, about the grace of God, about the incredible rescue that God has enacted by Jesus Christ. We are looking at good news, my friend. We're looking at how God has rescued this planet by putting all the judgment of the sin of the world upon himself in the person of his Son instead of us, and how he is counting us righteous when there is no righteousness in us. And then we're looking at how faith trains itself in that good news, so that we break through our struggles by faith. All right. Now, Paul then says, having stated that God is not the God of Jews only, but the God of all the nations, having said that, he says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now, why does he ask the question in the first place? Because, you see, Paul has established that a righteousness from God apart from law is revealed. See that? Verse 3, verse 21. The righteousness of God. He's talking about Jesus Christ, of course, because Christ is the righteousness of God. He has revealed himself to the world apart from all our human efforts. And he has brought righteousness to us, his righteousness, which he counts to ours, to us, which we count to ourselves, all apart from law. So that Paul then can say in 3 verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So you can see from this why Paul is saying, do we then make void the law through faith? In other words, do we say, the law is not important. The law doesn't count. That is dealing with externals. We're spiritual people now. Certainly not, he says. On the contrary, we establish the law. But you see, this statement, we now establish the law, can scare us to death. Because it seems that Paul is bringing back the very thing that made us insecure and unsure of our salvation in the first place, namely, the law. Now, if you have been a legalist or a perfectionist, as I was for 20 years, this is quite horrendous. It seems that, first of all, God is saying we are saved by faith alone. Oh, at last, Lord, I'm saved without any works to my credit. Even if I have failed miserably, I am saved by faith in Jesus. But then, it's as if we have to say, but now I must keep the law and make sure I keep it properly now by the strength of Jesus, and that takes all our faith and peace away. Do you get it? Is that what it means when Paul says, on the contrary, we establish the law? Now, why is this important? It's not simply a theological idea. It's not simply a doctrine. We are facing life and death issues, my friend. If you struggle with one addiction or another, a compulsive behavior, an obsessive thought that you haven't mastered yet and you haven't overcome, and you are led to have faith in Jesus, for he is your righteousness and has taken away all the wrath of God, and you now have peace, but are then told, but now you must establish the law by the power of Jesus in your life, then that will take away your peace. You must have peace based upon Christ's life for you, not upon your ability to perform the law. Right? Of course. Then what does it mean, on the contrary, we establish the law? How do we establish the law by faith? Well, my friend, I think I know the answer to this, and I want to tell it to you right now. Faith affirms that Christ is the new member, the new basis for the new covenant. Remember that the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament were equated with the covenant. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he spoke about it as a covenant in the same breath. Of course, it was a covenant which Israel broke. It was a covenant which Israel could not keep, failed to keep. Now, the wonderful truth is that Jesus Christ becomes the one keeper of the covenant. He is the one who is faithful to God. He is the one who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He is the one who keeps the conditions of the covenant, and he is also the one who provides the blood of the covenant. He is the one whose death is the very center of that covenant, which enables God to keep in an agreement with his people that they are his and his alone, and they are safe in his keeping. And so, my friends, by faith in Jesus, we have established what the law intended to establish but couldn't establish because of our weakness of the flesh, our sinfulness. We establish the law by putting faith in Christ, who took all the condemnation of sin upon himself, the judgment of the law upon himself, for our sakes. When we believe in Jesus, we are acknowledging that the law demands judgment and that Christ is our judgment. And when we believe in Jesus and we accept him as our righteousness, we are establishing, confirming what the law was pointing to. That is, a righteousness, but in Christ, not in us. Because the law could not produce that righteousness in us, but Christ is our righteousness, and therefore we establish the law. My friend, do not go about trying to establish your own legal law righteousness. Rather, let's follow Jesus. Let's love him by faith. Let us walk in his grace. Let us thank him that he has taken away the power of wrath, the power of judgment, and has brought in his righteousness and his resurrection. And as we keep doing that, we have courage to get up in the morning, to get up and go, to walk a little more faithfully with God each day, and to say no to sin because we're new people in his resurrection. Do you see? All of this is not by law, but by faith. Faith does what the law could not do. Now, be careful, because we're not saying that we are now doing through Christ's aid, what we couldn't do by ourselves. There are so many Christians who believe that accepting Christ is for the purpose of accomplishing the law by his aid now instead of by our aid. That's not it. The law makes it very, very clear, and the gospel makes it very clear, that we are not able to perfectly obey the law. But Christ did for us what we cannot do, and our acceptance of him as our righteousness and him as our sacrifice is establishing what the law was aiming for but could not produce in us. All of this brings us to the issues of how we live on a daily basis when we're trying to overcome our sexual addiction, our drug addiction, our food addiction, any compulsive behaviors or obsessive thoughts. And by the way, don't exclude yourself if you think you are not addicted. Don't believe it, my friend, because you are. All humanity is addicted. It is in flight from pain. What pain? The pain that we feel under the judgment of God or the separation from God, and we seek to find comforts in things other than God. This is all a state of addiction. Now, we apply the truth of this because you and I are seeking to get free from this or that. If you seek by law to get free from it, the law will only excite your problem. By guilt and by shame, and simply by telling you to do something, the law tells us what we should not do, and making us feel so inadequate and unable to come up with the goods that we then plunge into more sin in order to forget our inadequacy. So what we do is to say, I do not seek to walk in the ways of the law, because they will only bring me down. I seek to walk in the way of faith in Jesus. And when we start realizing the difference and thanking Jesus and our Heavenly Father that we are now reconciled to His heart through the death of Christ, that the power of sin no longer can condemn us or threaten us with judgment because Christ took our sin on the cross, that the law cannot condemn us because Christ is our righteousness, that death in all its ways cannot bring us to a dead end because Christ is our resurrection. When we do this, my friend, and keep affirming this, we find ourselves walking in ways that the law approves, but that did not come by the law. It's a mystery, it's a paradox, but that's what Jesus is about. He is about paradox. He takes what doesn't make sense and brings us to a rational mind that finally makes sense of it all. Friend, I would like to invite you to become a partner of this broadcast. What is a partner? Somebody who supports this ministry on a monthly basis, or a one-time basis, if you like, or several times a year. But somebody who really believes in this broadcast, has found how helpful it is to him or her to train his or her faith, and says, I'm so grateful for what this program is doing for me that I am going to support it. You become a partner simply by sending your first check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. You can take care of it, if you like, by PayPal on the website, our website, faithquestradio.com. Do listen to the website. You can hear the radio broadcasts any time of the day or night on faithquestradio.com, and also make your donation there at PayPal. Or you can take care of it by credit card. Call me at 303-738-8694, and I'll arrange with you what amount you want me to take off your card each month. 303-738-8694, or just a one-time donation. I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you, but if you don't want my monthly message or any mailings to you, then simply let me know. But that comes to you as a thank you from me. All right, my friends, I look forward to your support. See you next time. Cheerio and God bless.